This document is a copy of one of the heirs of the 9 original founders of the association. Jonas James Lawrence was killed mysteriously in 1825. Mr. Lawrence is the owner of this history. It's a Hebrew manuscript that Awad Khoury presents to the reader, translated into Arabic. Mr. Lawrence is, at the same time, the last heir of one of the 9 founders of the association, the Mysterious Force. The secret association, conceived more than 19 centuries ago, is no longer secret. Was it coincidence, or was it the hand of God, that this history is revealed? The origins of Masonry have been said to have began with Adam. Other legends say it existed before the creation of the terrestrial globe and was spread through the planets of the solar system. Others say around the construction of the Temple of Solomon, the Middle Ages, the Chaldeans, the Rosicrucian societies, and the Templars. This document shows that ancient Masonry, the Mysterious Force, was founded in the year 43 AD, and its daughter, Modern Masonry, that is called Freemasonry, born in the year 1717. This paper is based on the evidence, record, and history provided by the document of G.S. Lawrence, Dissipation of the Darkness, History of the Origin of Freemasonry. While I am no scholar or expert on Freemasonry, and know very little about it, this document is hard to deny. This paper is a PowerPoint presentation of what is in this history, and what I have learned about the history of Freemasonry. In order to get a full understanding, you must read the whole 93-page document by G.S. Lawrence. Well worth the time. This paper is just the highlights. I've also included some history and some scripture that I thought would complement this presentation. One thing that must be understood is that Jews are not Israelites. The Jews and the churches would have you think so, but it just is not so. The Jews admit that they are not the descendants of the ancient Israelites in their own writings. Under the heading of A Brief History of the Terms for Jew, in the 1980 Jewish Almanac is the following.
Strictly speaking, it is incorrect to call an ancient Israelite a Jew, or to call a contemporary Jew an Israelite or a Hebrew.
In the Encyclopedia Judaica 1971, volume 10, 23, it reads,
Jews began to call themselves Hebrews and Israelites in 1860.
The Jewish Encyclopedia 1925 edition reads,
Edom is in modern Jewry.
Genesis 36:8 backs up that claim. Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. In paragraph 1 of Protocol 3 of the Learned Elders of Zion, the leaders of Jewry admit that the Jews are the serpent race of Satan. Starting in the second section, chapter 1 of the document, we see the narrative of events in the successive sessions transacted in the court of King Herod Agrippa that blossomed, culminating in the foundation of the Masonic Association. Herod Agrippa is king of Judea from the year 37 to the year 44 of our era. He is the grandson of Herod the Great, who ordered the infants of Bethlehem slain. The conspiracy against Christ. In the Revelation at 12:4, we see, And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, in order that when she should give birth, he may devour her child. The dragon here is represented by the historical Herod the Great, for only he attempted to murder the Christ child as soon as he was born, as we find recorded in Matthew. The fact that Herod represents the dragon is quite profound once we discover that he was not an Israelite, but an Edomite Jew by race. That Herod was indeed of the seed of Esau is fully apparent in the pages of the Judean historian Flavius Josephus, where it is attested to directly or indirectly at least 5 times, and those instances shall be cited here. Josephus, Antiquities 14:8. But there was a certain friend of Hyrcanus, an Idumean, called Antipater, the father of Herod, who was very rich, and in his nature an active and a seditious man, who was at enmity with Aristobulus, and had differences with him on account of his goodwill to Hyrcanus.
See also 14:403, 14:120-121, and Wars 1:123-312-313.
Isaiah 34:5.
For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea, and upon the people of my curse, to judgment.
Idumea is H-123, Edom, which means Edomite, the descendants of Esau, the land of Edom, south and southeast of Palestine. When Herod secured power in Judea, he put all of the principal men of the land to death who were connected to the Hasmoneans, the Maccabees, who were Judahite Israelites. Later, he murdered his own wife and several of his own sons, not long after his own death. After a failed sedition against him, he again had all the principal men of Judea gathered into the Hippodrome and had them all slain. This would have been right around the time of the birth of Christ, and surely would have been a distraction from any of his other misdeeds. Herod the Great died in 1 BC, only a little over a year or so after Christ was born. He was succeeded by his son, Herod Archelaus, who was so cruel that after only a few years the Romans took the kingdom from him and expelled him to Vienna in Gaul. From that point on, Judea was split into 4 pieces, and rulers called tetrarchs were set over them, a tetrarch being a ruler of a fourth. Herod Antipas, another son of the first Herod, and he and his brother Philip each received a tetrarchy from Rome. Herod the Great had put Edomites into the Israelite priesthood. The priesthood by the time of Christ was almost entirely occupied by Edomite Jews, just like our government and all positions of power, corporations, banking, media, etc. are today. The result of the association, its goals, and the tireless work of the mysterious force. Session of June 24 of the year 43 after Christ. How Hiram Abiud, counselor of the king Herod Agrippa, conceived the idea of founding the Masonic Association, proposing it in the court of Jerusalem. On that date, Hiram presented himself before King Herod, expressing himself in the following terms.
Majesty, when I saw that the impostor Jesus's men and their followers increased in number and endeavored to confuse the Jewish people with their preaching, I decided to present myself before your majesty to propose the foundation of a secret association whose principles might attack those confusers with all the means within our reach to bring their corrupt and corrupting works to collapse and to eliminate them, if it is possible.
The king heard him, pleased, and said to him,
Speak, Hiram.
Majesty, It has been confirmed before your excellency and before all that that impostor, Jesus, has captivated with his teachings and his acts, both deceptive, the hearts of a part of the Jewish people, your people, and how it is obvious that his partisans are multiplying day by day. It is evident, also, that since his appearance until and including his death, and from his death until today, we have not known how to attack efficiently those whom we should call our enemies, nor have we been able to eliminate all that is inculcated in the simple hearts of the people, all the teachings opposed to our religion, which are corrupt and false.
Notice, Hiram is a Jew speaking to Herod the Jew about the Jewish people and their Jewish religion. He also refers to Christ as that impostor. It must be understood that at that time, the Jews were in the seat of authority, controlled the Israelite priesthood, and were teaching the people their religion of Judaism, which is Babylonian Talmudism, the traditions of the elders, which is a perversion of the Torah of Moshe. There were Israelites and Edomites dwelling in Judea. Our Israelite people were deceived by these Jews' counterfeit doctrine then, just like all the church denominations are today. Hiram calls these Israelites their enemies. And why wouldn't we Israelites be their enemies? They hate us and our Elohim. Yahweh is not a liar. Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Hiram continues.
We must recognize, although it may grieve us, that the multiple persecutions realized against that impostor, and notwithstanding submitting him to justice, sentencing him and crucifying him, the result has been futile. Without effect, our fathers battled tirelessly. We believe in their having conquered in the battle, but we have not obtained nor perceived even any sign of success. We contemplate, confounded, that the more arduous our battle is against his partisans, the greater is the number of his followers, and the number of sympathizers with the religion, the way, established by him increases. It seems that there has been a hand, a force, secret, mysterious, that punishes us without our being able to offer resistance. It seems we have lost all our strength to defend our religion and our existence itself.
That mysterious hand and force would be Yahweh. Job 5:12. He disappoints the devices of the crafty so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise.
Majesty, based on the evidence that there is no efficacious means of incorporating our ideas, nor firm hope of attacking that force, undoubtedly mysterious, there is no other path than to establish a mysterious force, similar to that one, to attack mystery with mystery, in mystery. I have come to the conclusion that it is our unavoidable duty, unless you have a better idea, to establish an association of a greater power so it may assemble the Jewish forces threatened by that mysterious force. It is fitting that no one know anything about its foundation, its principles, or its actions. Only those whom your majesty may choose as founders will know the secret of the foundation. Only the active associates will know the important decrees. The central see will be this palace and we will found affiliates in all the centers that might be invaded by the preachers of the teachings that the impostor published with such audacity. Therefore, Majesty, what do you think of the creation of this longed-for force with which we will attack and eliminate that hidden but real power that threatens our existence?
Speaking then, the king said,
"You know, O Hiram, that your idea is glorious. It is worthy of your privileged intelligence. It could not have come except from your heart, ardent with religious zeal. O genius of profound judgment."
The original meaning of genius is said to be one filled with demons.
"We must realize this project as quickly as possible. We must ask the opinion of Moab. Then we will choose the men who will participate in the foundation with us. Summon Moab tomorrow. Do not let him know anything. I will inform him."
Moab is the first counselor of Herod Agrippa. It seems like Hiram, Moab, and the seven others were Pharisees who believed and practiced Babylonian magic and were answerable to the demonic beings, who in turn were answerable to the Satan, the Lucifer. These Pharisees, after realizing that the death of Judah and the ascension of Jesus didn't stop the spread of the true religion, of the belief, the way of Adam, Noah, and Abraham, opposed to their brand of Kabbalism, formed a secret society of 9 unknown men and are today known as the Elders of Zion. Chapter 2. The second meeting King Herod held with Moab Levi, his first counselor, and Hiram Abiud on June 25th of the year 43 of our era. King Herod spoke first and said,
"What happened, and what continues happening, my two companions, since the appearance of the impostor Jesus, deserves to occupy our attention? We must find a means to help us attack that sect of people that, in spite of their small numbers, confuses the people with their false teachings. Moreover, those who adopt those falsities not only conform themselves by their adoption, but practice them devoutly and, to fill the measure to overflowing, they publish them courageously, without any fear, wherever they go."
Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell."
Let us note that the propagation of such teaching increases day by day. Let us recognize that their followers, now perfectly identified with the cause, have separated themselves from our religion. Let us not doubt that those who waver today will soon fall in the snare of the deceit. To avoid this danger, no other alternative remains to us than to establish an association whose object would be to incorporate secretly the spirit of the Jewish nation, and to be able thus to crush that mysterious and criminal hand that directs that movement, and to silence its propaganda. If we do not succeed in this intention, many people, inclined toward the lies preached by that deceiver, will fall under his influence.
We see that the Jews had the religious monopoly of the day, just as they do today. They had many Israelites deceived by their Judeo-Christianity satanic Judaism. They didn't want Israelites knowing the truth, their heritage, and Yahweh.
Before the problem worsens, my dear friends, we must give it the importance it deserves. Let us now select the companions who will collaborate with us in the foundation. These must be possessors of proven honor, profound discretion, great activity and immense zeal for the protection of the Jewish religion. I offer you, Hiram, our appreciation for having been the suggester of this idea, to found this association for such a noble purpose.
Speaking then, Hiram said,
May Lucifer prolong the age of your majesty the king. All the merit belongs to your majesty. From your noble origin, the entire nation takes grace. All the good the nation possesses redounds from your blessing. I beg your majesty the king to select our brothers and companions to form the association.
Then Herod named 9 men, ordering Moab and Hiram to record their names, that is, the king, Herod Agrippa, Hiram Abiud, Moab Levi, Johanan, Antipas, Jacob Abdon, Solomon Abiram, Adoniram, and Ashad Abaya. 9 is the number of magic, a sacred number, a number of completion and fulfillment, a symbol of wisdom and good leadership. When multiplied, 9 always reproduces itself. Christ died in the 9th hour. Chapter 3. The Foundation of the Association, the Mysterious Force. Herod goes on, in the next meeting, to give these collaborators the title of brothers, and calls them supporters of the king and life of the Jewish people.
Each one of you knows, without doubt, the obligations towards one's brother. From this moment on, I want you to know that I have linked myself to you with the obligations of a brother. These obligations are greater than those of a king towards his subjects, for the betrayal of a king is not improbable, but the betrayal of a brother, impossible. Let us all understand, then, and let us not forget, that this fundamental meeting realized by this new group is based on brotherhood. On this brotherhood, we will build our edifice, and that title of tenderness, brotherhood, will be the cornerstone of our edifice until the end of time. Since that man, Jesus, arose, preaching those false teachings and inculcating that spirit that he pretentiously called the divine spirit, numerous persons whose spirits are confused and corrupted are joining him. He attributed divinity to himself, being nothing but an indigent. He disputed with us over the kingdom. We have noted a great power in him, which he left as an inheritance to that group he called disciples. He founded an association that he called a religion, it being called that by them as well. This supposed religion is at the point of overturning the foundations of our religion and demolishing it.
Christianity is not a religion. All the denominations are religions. Christianity is the way. It is the history, heritage, promises, and covenants of the children of Israel, the race of Adam. Acts 11:26, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. 2 Corinthians 1:22. Who has also sealed us and given the earnest, or a deposit or down payment, of the Spirit in our hearts. Speaking of Pentecost. Ephesians 1:14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory.
Being nothing but a humble one and an impostor, he adopted the name Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Judeans. He claimed to have been conceived by a divine power and born of a virgin, one who remained a virgin even after having given birth. He exaggerated in the deceit, the fraud, until affirming that he was God, the Son of God, and one sent by God, doing everything that God does.
Jew is an incorrect word and translation. It should read Judean. Jesus was the king of the Judeans, meaning king of Yisrael, not king of Jews, which have no part with him.
He attributed to himself the gift of prophecy and the power of performing miracles. He claimed to be the hoped-for Messiah, of whom our prophets announced the coming, not being anything but a vulgar man like the rest of the people, devoid of any feature of the divine spirit, withdrawn to the extreme from the rectitude of our firm Jewish doctrine, from which we are determined not to deviate in even one point.
The prophets were not Jews. These Jews have infiltrated and usurped the identity of Israel since the Babylonian captivity. They continue this lie of Israelite identity to this very day, as almost all our people believe the Jews are the Israel of the Bible. The Jews hate Yahweh, Yeshua, we Goyim Christians, and the truth. The very goal of the association of the mysterious force was to propagate all the deceptions the churches and society now believe, showing that their efforts have worked almost flawlessly. Matthew 24:24, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very chosen ones, Yahweh's remnant."
Never will we recognize such a person as the Messiah, nor will we recognize his divinity. We know that the hoped-for Messiah is not yet among us, nor has the time of his coming arrived, nor has any sign been exhibited that he might indicate his appearance. If we commit the error of letting our people follow him and be deceived, we convict ourselves of an unforgivable crime. He was submitted to justice and sentenced to the maximum penalty. He was chastised and injured like the greatest of criminals. He bore all that with extraordinary patience that astonished everyone. Finally, we crucified him. He died and we buried him, leaving guards who watched the tomb. But it was claimed that he was risen, resurrected, abandoning the tomb. We did not find out how his resurrection happened, nor did the guards. No one doubted the loyalty of those posted at the tomb because they were from among his enemies. He disappeared in an unknown manner, in spite of the zealous vigilance and the security of the closure.
The churches teach that the Romans crucified Christ, and it was Roman soldiers that carried out these orders. Wrong. The counterfeit Edomite priesthood had their own guards and cronies.
We will not recognize, on any point, a religion other than ours, the Jewish religion that we have inherited from our ancestors. Duty calls us to preserve it until the end of time. That blow has never been expected.
Referring to the confirmation of Yeshua's divinity and his word. Psalm 147:18, "He sends out his word and melts them. He causes his wind to blow and the waters flow."
That mysterious force has never been dreamt of. Our fathers attacked it, and we continue attacking it. In spite of everything, astonishing, their number increases. Observe with me how the Son is separated from the Father, the brother from his brother, the daughter from her mother, all alienating themselves to join that group. This affair encloses a great secret. How many men, how many women, how many entire families have abandoned the Jewish religion in order to follow those impostors, those partisans of Jesus? How many times they were threatened by the priests and authorities in vain?
Matthew 10:35. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. The people were leaving the Jews' counterfeit doctrine, and even sometimes their own family, to follow the truth.
Now then, if our fathers had triumphed partially in impeding the people from following the confusers, they have done so without any association, without a spirit of unity, without a strong official league. How successful will it be then if we found this association? Will it not be astonishing? I swear by my life, I swear by reason, that we will attain all our desire, we will attain our longings, not only of impeding the Jews from following that confusing force, but of crushing that force and its leaders.
Even some of the Jews were converting to Christianity. We must realize, just as 99% of our Israelite brethren are deceived and don't know who they are and whose they are, and following the Jews' counterfeit doctrine, many Jews are in the dark about their own history, identity, and fate. An Israelite that is converted to the Jews' religion becomes a twofold child of hell. A Jew that converts to Christianity is a joke, vain, and simply impossible. Matthew 23:15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. John 3:3. Yeshua answered and said unto Nicodemus, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The members of the association go on to explain their plans, come up with a name for the association, and pledged their support, loyalty, and secrecy to each other. Some suggestions were the Brotherhood and the Jewish Fraternal Union. The king replied,
No, Hiram. Yesterday I have prepared another name, the Mysterious Force. Do you all approve it?
They all answered,
Indeed,
yes, I approve it.
Yes, we agree.
Everything was recorded, debated, and agreed upon. These meetings were very secret, very detailed, and very serious. Chapter 4. The Frightful Oath. In the presence of the 9 founders, the king, presiding over the session, began it, saying,
I have no doubt of your sincerity and affection. We know that your respective functions are in direct relationship with the Jewish religion and nation, with the country and the king. For that reason, we must bind ourselves by an oath that each one of us must take in the presence of the others. I have composed its text, and I have called it the Frightful Oath. I will be the first to take it.
The text of the oath.
I, Herod Agrippa, swear by God,
which would be Lucifer. The Bible, which would be the Torah, perverted.
And my honor that, having become a member of the 9 founders of the association, the mysterious force, I bind myself not to betray my brothers, the members, in anything that might harm their persons, nor to betray anything concerning the decrees of the association. I bind myself to follow its principles and to realize what is proposed in the successive decrees approved by you, the 9 founders, with obedience and precision, with zeal and fidelity. I bind myself to work for and increase in the number of its members. I bind myself to attack whoever follows the teachings of that impostor Jesus, and to combat his men until death. I bind myself not to divulge any of the secrets preserved among us, the 9, either among outsiders or among the affiliated members. If I commit perjury and my betrayal is confirmed in that I have revealed some secret or some article of the decrees preserved among us and heirs, this commission of 8 companions will have the right to kill me by whatever means available.
The oath goes on to say they are bound by the Brotherhood, the fundamental principles, whether they be innocent or corrupt, bound by obedience, to be a perfect guardian of the decrees of the association. Only one son of each of the 9 founders will be the trustee as heir to the secret. Total secrecy, even among family.
And do not forget, brothers, that we, and only we, the 9, will be the chained ones, and the ones responsible, because the internal law that we will sanction tomorrow will be known only by us, and will be the patrimony of our heirs only, who will receive it successively until the complete eradication of the impostors. Whoever will enter the association with us or with our heirs will never know anything of the internal secrets nor of the fundamental goals.
With the oath taken, each one returned to his place, and the king gave the following discourse.
Brothers, now our association, the Mysterious Force, is founded. Its force, acts, principles, and goals will be mysterious forever. Thus we will be able to eradicate the fallacies of Jesus and his followers. We have now made ourselves brothers. We must form a true brotherhood, different from that which the impostor claimed to form, a brotherhood of deceit and witchcraft. Our brotherhood is truthful. It is the foundation and the backbone of our association. Now that we are chained and bound to the chains, let each one of us prepare himself for the work. The work consists in killing by whatever means possible the disseminators of the teachings of Jesus. This is our noble intention. This is our religious and political goal. In short, I tell you that the foundation of our acts must be fidelity, discretion, and the cruel courage to eliminate them. On delivering these secrets to our sons, let us inculcate these principles in heritage. They, in turn, will bequeath them to their sons so that our principles and secrets will continue in a hereditary and sound manner from one century to the next, and thus forever. We know that the impostor Jesus attributed to himself the performance of miracles. He said that he was the Son of God, that he himself was God. Could there be greater impudence? Besides, he has spread many other false concepts, which, faced with, we cannot nor must not keep silent. For example, his manifesting himself as king of the Judeans. Do you not see in that claim imprudence, impudence, and unqualified insult? Thus our fathers judged it. That is why they attacked him. That is why they persecuted his partisans. And that is what inspires us to establish an association that may continue the battle. For without an association, some of them succeeded in attaining great and unforgettable triumphs in that field. Two villages that you know, where they killed three followers of Jesus, served as an example to the rest. With the fate of those three, not a single inhabitant of those villages and their vicinities dared to follow those preachers. Up to the present, we have no knowledge of anyone's having joined the impostors, or of their having returned to these villages. Such a measure, being crowned with such great success without a league or association behind it, can you imagine the magnitude and the benefit that will be attained with the foundation of our association? With the will of God, which would be Lucifer, we will blot them from the earth, one by one. Thus we will escape the danger of the teachings of their chief, the impostor.
Matthew 13:19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, and understands it not, then comes the wicked one, and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that hears the word, and at once with joy receives it, yet has he not root in himself, but endures for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises, because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful.
Brothers, it is the duty of each of us to have a copy of all that has occurred, and been written to date and hereafter. Thus, each one will have a history of our acts, which, although limited, will be the inheritance that he will pass on to his son from generation to generation. It will last, with the advancing of days and the passing of time, as long as the followers of Jesus the impostor exist on the earth.
As we are seeing, this document is one of those copies. And as those of us who have been blessed to see how this mysterious force, which is Freemasonry, in addition to many other secret societies and powers and principalities, fight against us to distract, confuse, pervert, and defile our people, our morals, our values, and our connection to the Father, because it matters who and what we believe. These children of the devil are constantly doing the desire of their father, and if the roles were reversed, they would receive salvation for their works, because they show up for work every day and do their job every day. They've successfully brought the world above to match the world below. Chapter 6, Foundation of the First Lodge, called the Lodge of Jerusalem.
We must install a see that will be called the Lodge of Jerusalem. This lodge must be located in a hidden corridor where no one will see us nor hear our decrees. I take this opportunity to call your attention to an affair of utmost importance. We have said that we must increase our association until thousands of people join, thus increasing our strength. But if it should come to be known that this association has been founded at this time, it will cause fear and reaction, and consequently the alienation of a part of the people, especially in these critical times in which the revolution of that impostor continues increasing its strength.
The original nine agreed to lie about the origin and founding of the mysterious force. All Masons will be ignorant and left in the dark about the founding secrets, except for the sole heir of each of the founding nine. Remember when George H.W. Bush spoke about
1,000 points of light?
What could that mean? It was the name of a private, nonprofit organization to support volunteerism. He repeated the phrase in his inaugural address on January 20th, 1989.
I've spoken of 1,000 points of light, of all the community organizations that are spread like stars throughout the nation doing good.
George Bush, a Jew, means doing good for the cause of destroying white Christian society. Good to the Jew is bad for the you. Good for the you is bad for the Jew. George Bush and the magic of 1,000 points of light. What did President George Bush really mean when he promised,
I will keep America moving forward, always forward, for a better America, for an endless, enduring dream and 1,000 points of light.
And later, during his State of the Union address, when he mysteriously told the nation that our goal must be the illumination of mankind by 1,000 points of light. To fully understand just how masterful the Brotherhood is in seeding men's minds with illusion and magic, we need only turn to the coded, esoteric speeches of their chief public servant, President George Bush. For years, George Bush has been a primary messenger for the Brotherhood. His messages, though they appear to be full of light, nevertheless are dark and foreboding. What's more, they convey special meanings which can be understood only by those trained in the black magic arts, alchemy, and ritual. The occult philosophy of the secret Brotherhood teaches of the bright, radiant center within each individual. This bright center reflects the rays of the great central sun, the Masonic deity, and is how man expresses the will to become awake, to become illumined. Three main focuses: one world government, free trade agreements, religion. The New World Order will be socialism. Read the United Nations declarations and treaties for proof. When George Bush said,
by serving some higher purpose than ourselves, a shining purpose, the illumination of 1,000 points of light.
In his speech in 1991, he was using the symbolic language and was referring to the body of initiates. 1,000 points of light is a reference to placing thousands of members all throughout the communities of the white Christian nations to tear it down from within. At this point in history, 2019, there are literally thousands of lodges, members, and infiltrators all over the nations, countries, cities, towns, and villages. Most of these Masons are ignorant to the diabolical intentions of what they are a part of, and are unwittingly serving Lucifer, just as every denominational believer of a Jewish Jesus is unwittingly serving Lucifer, the Jews, and the goals of Freemasonry. Genesis 3:1, and the Nakash, serpent, was more crafty and subtle than all the lives of the field which Yahweh Elohim had made.
I desire and ask that you accept with me the making of this edifice the most magnificent of palaces. And how? With occultism. And what does this occultism mean? Listen. The best means of making our association, besides grand and important, exciting, is to hide the date of its foundation, the names of its founders, our names, from every affiliate, whoever he may be. These secrets will be guarded by the nine of us, and each one of us will pass it on as an inheritance to one of our sons, the most serious, the most secretive, when he reaches 21 years of age. His own brothers must know nothing. What must we say, then, to the affiliates, is that this association is very ancient. No one knows anything about the date of its foundation, nor its founders. It was dissolved and dead until a little while ago. As there will certainly be opposers, we will satisfy their doubts, telling them, King Herod found in his father's treasury ancient papers that indicate the existence of a most ancient association, said papers containing signs and laws, and it pleased him so that he wanted to revive it, and truly he revived it, in accord with what was written in the documents. With this legend we will hide the date of the foundation and the goal of the association. This will be our principal weapon. Occultism will be a disguise even for our brothers, although they reach the highest of degrees. In regard to these degrees, I must let you know beforehand that with the brothers, Moab and Hiram, we will make different degrees for the associates and, once in order, we will make them known so you may give us your opinion. What's more, we will hide all the decrees issued by us nine. Besides, it will not escape your profound discernment that the absolute concealment will provoke the desire to enter our association, to know the occult. There will be other secrets, secondary ones, that the brothers will only be able to know after taking the general oath, the text of which we will study in the next session. The oath will oblige him to keep the secret.
1 John 2:21. No lie is of the truth. Chapter 7. The General Oath. On August 10th, the nine founders met, presided over by the king, who opened the session, saying,
Dear brothers, we, the founders, have outlined our fundamental mission. We have evaluated our responsibility faced with the horrifying and private oath that we have taken. Now we must study the text of the oath that those who desire to join our association must take. I will read its text, and if you approve it, we will decree it and record it. It will be called the General Oath.
Text of the General Oath that every affiliate must take.
I, John Doe, son of John Doe, swear by God, which would be Lucifer, the Bible, which would be the Talmud, and my honor that since I have been accepted as an affiliate and member of the association, the mysterious force, not to betray my brothers, its members, in anything that might harm their persons or malign the decrees of the association, to fulfill in everything what its active members decree, and not to reveal anything of its secrets to anyone. If I betray this oath, my throat will be cut and any type of death will be permitted for me. Brothers, if the affiliate is Jewish, we will make the truth known to him, that is, that the goal of the association is Jewish union. And if he is not a Jew, we will not permit him to understand anything. But then we must have assured ourselves that we are not dealing with a spy or a partisan of our enemies. As he progresses up the scale of the degrees of the association, he will be advanced little by little in the knowledge and the primordial goals, and at an opportune moment it will be revealed to him that the fundamental goal is to kill the partisans of Jesus and to preserve the Jewish religion. Then there will be no need to oblige him, for he will do so with all enthusiasm. Let us not forget that the greatest of the fundamental secrets, hermetically guarded, is the date of the foundation and the names of its founders. If they ask us, we must hide the truth. Lie, lie, in the interests of the association, the Jewish religion, and the Jewish nation.
John 8:44. You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it.
Thus we must answer. In a room in the palace of King Herod the Great, papers were found that contain ancient Egyptian laws, signs, and symbols with mysterious words concerning this association. Said papers were inherited from our remote ancestors of a date impossible to know. Do they date back to Solomon, David, or Moses, or to earlier epochs? We do not know. How does this reply seem to you? Will you approve it?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
They all said, and it was recorded. It is clear here that the goal of ancient masonry was solely the preservation of the Jewish religion and destroy Christianity. The new masonry, that is, after the year 1717, tripled its goal. One port, the Jews, preserved the ancient principles. The second group embraced the principles of Desaiguliers, that is, to attack Catholicism. And the third group adopts the principles of naturalism and nihilism, rejection of moral or religious values and beliefs. Chapter 8. The Manner of Joining. Hiram said,
King Herod Agrippa, Moab Levi, and Hiram Abiud agreed on a special form for those whom they wish to join the association. They hold that the form of affiliation should be different from and superior to that of all associations, companies, or brotherhoods. This being done for the purpose of creating prestige among the affiliates, who, besides attaching great importance to it, will have to fear it.
King Agrippa replies,
Your idea is commendable, Hiram. My opinion is to bandage the eyes of the postulant so he may see absolutely nothing of the temples until after the oath. While outside, his eyes will be bandaged. The porter delivers him to the sponsor, who, in turn, conducts him toward the president, telling him in his ear to take 3 steps, beginning with the right foot. Then he makes him pass between 2 columns. This act symbolizes that the outsider, the stranger, the foreigner is, before entering, in darkness, and joining us and taking the oath, he is transported from darkness to light, the Jewish religion being represented by the light.
2 Corinthians 11:14, And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into a messenger of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works.
The president calls him and makes him swear to the oath. The president will have in his hands a sword whose blade will be over the neck of the postulant. In front of him and in the hands of the sponsor will be the Bible, which would be the Torah, the perverted version. The oath taken, the bandage is removed, and he finds himself with a sword held over his head and in front of his eyes, the Bible, the perverted version, and a light. Then the sponsor puts a small apron on him that symbolizes his affiliation with us, T to participate in the construction of the walls of our edifice, which is the fortification of the Jewish religion and the protection of its existence.